Gemara in the end of Masechet Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara quotes a lot of comments of the Tana Rav Yosi, Rav Yosi ben Chalafta. So one of his many comments, he talks about the various Midas Chasidus that he observes. So one of the Midas Chasidus is he hopes that he'll always be able to recite Hallel every day. So the Gemara says, is that a proper Midas Chasidus? We have a tradition that whoever recites Hallel every day is doing something highly improper, Harezim Mecharef HaMegadev. It's equivalent to blasphemy. Why exactly is it like blasphemy? So Rashi interprets because it sounds as if he's making fun of the whole institution of Hallel. Hallel was instituted by the Rabbanim to be recited on special occasion. Every day of the year is a special occasion. As if he's mismotzeitz, Rashi's lashon, as if he's making fun of the whole institution of Hallel. Rabbeinu Yoina on Brachas has a different interpretation. The Rif on Brachas quotes this Gemara from the end of Shabbat. Rabbeinu Yoina says that in Hallel we speak about the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. So if a person recites Hallel once in a while, so he talks about the miracles that God did in the past. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, okay, unusual times. Chanukah. But if you recite Hallel every day, miracles are not happening every day. So it sounds as if we're complaining to God. How come he hasn't done any miracles for us lately? How come there aren't any more miracles? Whatever it is, the Gemara asked that question. How can Rabbi Yossi say he hopes he'll always be able to recite Hallel every day if you have a tradition that that's not permissible? So the Gemara answers, no, Rabbi Yossi is talking about one kind of Hallel, and that comment is on a different kind of Hallel. The Hallel that you're not supposed to say every day, that's the Hallel HaMitzri. That's what we call Hallel. It's called B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, that's why it's called Hallel HaMitzri. And the Hallel that Rabbi Yossi is talking about is what we call Psukah D'Zimra. Psukah D'Zimra is a praise. We're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Teva, for the fact that he instituted Chukei HaTeva. And the Hallel HaMitzri, what we call Hallel, that's a Hallel of L'mayla Ben HaTeva, Hallel of Nisim. So that's not proper to recite that Hallel every day. That's not proper. The Poskim talk about some people, I guess retired people, who recite Tehillim every day. All of Tehillim every day. I wouldn't be able to. People who don't work for a living, I guess, to have time on their hands. So there are people who recite all of Tehillim every day. So how can you recite all of Tehillim every day? Tehillim has the whole Hallel. So you're reciting the whole Hallel. So they say, no, it's only if you single out the parshiyos of Hallel, that's not permissible. But if you're running through the all of Tehillim and you're saying the Hallel is part of Tehillim, that's not the violation. That's a Magen Avraham in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch. And the Munkacha has a tshuva like that in Minchas Aluza. He quotes the Magen Avraham that's permissible.
But the way they split it up for the daily, for Yom Chavdalet, it's all the Hallel.
Okay. If you say, no, but if every day you say a section of the Hallel, then you're saying this in the context of the rest of the month, it's also, you're saying it as Tehillim, you're not really saying it as Hallel. Even if you only say Hallel that day, that's also okay. So when exactly do we recite Hallel? So the Gemara in Erechin has a brisa where it lists off the brises were all the time. Most of the Tanaim lived in Eretz Yisrael. So most of the Mishnais and brises were composed by people who lived in Eretz Yisrael. So the brisa lists off the 18 days in Eretz Yisrael when they recite Hallel Shalom. That's the 8 days of Sukkot and the 8 days of Chanukah, 8 days to 16. And then you have Shavuos is only one day, and Pesach is the first day of Pesach. There is no second day of Pesach. So that's all. Those are the 18 days on which you recite Hallel. And if you live in Chutz Laaretz, so there's another day of Sukkot, there's another day of Pesach. First 2 days of Pesach, you say Hallel. You don't say Hallel the rest of Pesach. That's what it says in the Gemara. And there's another day of Shavuos. Instead of 18, it's 21 days. So that's the Brisa in Masechet Erech and Daf Yud. There are 18 days when you recite all of Hallel. And if you live in Chutz Laaretz, they're 21 days. So the Gemara poses the question, why do you only recite Hallel on these special occasions? Shabbos is more special. Shabbos is holier than all the Yomim Tovim. So if you recite Hallel on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and on Chanukah is only Midrabbanan, so why shouldn't we recite Hallel on Shabbos? The Gemara says, no, Shabbos is never referred to in Tanakh as a Moed. You only recite Hallel on a Yontif, that's a Moed. What exactly does that mean? We'll have to figure out. Then the Gemara asks, well, Rish Chodesh is called a Moed. Where is Rish Chodesh called a Moed? Is also questionable. Rish Chodesh is called a Moed. How come we don't recite Hallel? We do recite Hallel on Rish Chodesh, but that's a Gemara in the end of Tainus on Daf Chav Ches and Beis. The Gemara says that Hallel on Rish Chodesh is a Minhog. It's not Min Atar, it's not Min Derabbanan. And it was not a universal minig. Rav and Shmuel were students of Rabbi Yudah HaNosir. Rabbi Yudah HaNosir was the end of the period of the Tanoim. He's the one who edited the Mishnah. He didn't write the Mishnah. The Mishnah had already been in existence before the days of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, but he edited the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's students were the first generation of Amoraim. So he, Rab and Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan, all learned by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So Rav studied by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and then his family came originally from Bavel. He came to Eretz Yisrael, he left his family. Then he went back to Bavel to establish a yeshiva. Rav and Shmuel both went back the same time to Bavel, and each one went to a different city, and they established big yeshivas. There was a very low level of religious observance in Bavel at that time. They were being mechallel Shabbos, they weren't observing kashrus, they were violating everything. So these two rabbanim, Rav and Shmuel, instituted all kinds of, they instituted a lot of learning and chumras and takonis, and they raised the level of observance. So the Gemara says Rav came to Bavel, and the Balabatim were making mistakes right and left. They had everything wrong. They didn't know anything about the davening God. And she came to Shul one fine day, Rosh Chodesh. All of a sudden, they're saying Hallel. He never heard of this. So the Gemara says, Sova Lav Sukina. He was going to walk over to the Chazan and tell him, today's Rosh Chodesh. You don't say Hallel today. He's a mature man, a grown man. He never heard that you say Hallel Rosh Chodesh. So then the Chazan, by the time he walked over to the Chazan skipped a paragraph in Hallel and he went to the next paragraph. So one kasha farem for the other kasha. So he understood that it must be a minig. If the Balabatim were making a mistake and they thought that it's a real din that you have to say halal mashchodesh, they would have said ganz halal. The fact that they're saying chatzi halal, that itself is an indication that it's only a minig, so he allowed them to continue to recite halal. So that's the Gemara, that in Eretz Yisrael, he learned in Eretz Yisrael by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, he never heard of such a thing of reciting Chatzi Halam HaShchodesh, only when he came to Bavel, and then he understood that it's only a minhag. This is a famous discussion that Tosfos has in Brachos and Daf Yud Daled. Does one recite a bracha when you recite a Chatzi Halam HaShchodesh? Because when you say a bracha, let's say when you put on tefillin or you put on a talis, so you say, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvah yisah b'tzivanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to put on tefillin, to put on a talis. But to read the Megillah is only midirabbanon, or to light Neres Chanukah is only midirabbanon, or to bench licht on Erev Shabbos. By us, it's such a double pasha, we say to bench licht. It's built in. We don't say to light candle, we say to bench licht, he's saying a bracha. It's a double pasha by us. Tosfos has two opinions. One opinion of Tosfos is that you don't say a bracha on Hadlokas on there, the first Tosfos on the first Mishnah by Mamad Likin, because the Gemara says Hadlokas on there on Erev Shabbos is a chayva. So Tosfos claims that the term chayva is a technical term that means it's something you have to do which is not a mitzvah. It says in the Gemara, in the Tilis Yadayim, before you eat bread is a mitzvah. They say bracha on the Tilis Yadayim. And my machreinim is a chayva. And Tosfos says the term chayva means something you're obligated to do, but you don't recite a bracha for some reason or another. So by us, it's so pashut, by us, it's such a dabar barur that you say a bracha on Hadlokas Haneres and Erev Shabbos. We call it, the institution we refer to as benching licht. But Tosfos has two opinions. But it's only midirabbanan, it's not a dimen. It's not pasuk in Chumash that you have to light candles on Erev Shabbos. So why do you recite the bracha on that? How can you say with a straight face, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvah yisah b'tzivanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command us? So the Gemara says that's okay. The Gemara gives an explanation that we are required to recite the Brichas HaMitzvah, even if the mitzvah that we're observing is only midirabbanan. Even though it's not a biblical mitzvah, we can still say Abroche, Kedushanu b'mitzvah b'tzivanu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us in the Torah we should follow all of the takonis the Rabban. So the Gemara only explains that even a mitzvah midirabbanan requires a Birchas HaMitzvah. The Gemara never says a word about fulfilling a minig. In fact, the Gemara says explicitly in Sukkah, the Gemara says that clapping Hoshinus on Hashanah Rabbah, that you have to shake the lulav and the esrog and the hadas mil arovos, that's a real din. On the first day of Sukkot, that's a din min haTorah. And the other days of Sukkot, that's a takonim and the rabban and zecher l'migdush. And the Beis HaMikdash, shaking lulav all 7 days, was a mitzvah min haTorah. And today, after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, Abichai ben Zakkai was the chief rabbi, and he made 9 takonis. He and his bezin made 9 takonis. And one of his 9 takonis was to have a zecher l'migdush, which remember that there was such an institution in the Beis HaMikdash that they shook the lulav and esrog all 7 days. But shaking the Hoshinus, shaking the Arovos on Hashanah Rabbah, that's not part of the Takana. So the Gemara has a dispute. Was that a minig that was instituted by the Nevi'im, the later Nevi'im, or was that a Takana de Rabbanan? So the Gemara says it's only a minhok. How do you know it's not a Takana? Because our practice is that we clap Hoshinus and we don't say a bracha. You say tefillas, you say yirotzen, but you don't say a bracha. So the reason why the Gemara says is because clapping Hashinus is only a minhag. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that you only recite a Birchas HaMitzvah if you're observing a mitzvah man HaTorah, a mitzvah man HaRabbanan. But if you're fulfilling a minhag, you don't recite a bracha. So Tosis has two opinions. What about Chatzi Halal Amish Chodesh? The Gemara said in the end of Tainus, Chatzi Halal Amish Chodesh is only a minhag, so a bracha should not be recited. So that's the Rambam's position. The Rambam and Shulchan Aruch writes like that. And the Svardim, many Svardim, most of the Svardim have that practice. When they recite Chatzi Halal Amish Chodesh, they don't say a bracha. And the Ashkenazim follow the Baal HaTosfos. That some in Hagim yes and some in Hagim not. Depends what the nature of the minhag is. Clapping Hashinus for some reason or another, everybody, all the Rishonim give different reasons. Clapping Hashinus is a minhag that does not require a bracha. And reciting Halal is a stronger minhag because reciting Halal exists. Clapping Hashinus never exists anywhere as a mitzvah min HaTorah min HaRabbanan. So that was a minhag that was instituted from thin air. So that kind of a minhag, you don't recite a bracha, but reciting Halal is a real din. On 21 days, you do have to say Halal. So when we developed a minhag to recite Chatzi Halal Mesh Chodesh, that's a better kind of a minhag, so that you are required to recite a bracha. The same dispute you have between Ashkenazim and the Svardim, when you light, you can't say Ben Shlich. When you light the candles on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah says in Psochim, in Perek Mokum Shenogu, that Halokas Haner, on Erev Yom Kippur, depends on the minhag HaMokum. There's a Perek in Maseches Psochim that's called Perek Mokum Shenogu. So the Mishnah says, Mokum Shenogu Lahad Bekerev Yom Kippur Madlikim, Mokum Shenogu Shelo Lahad Lagei Madlikim. The Gemara gives the whole reason for the minhag, why the minhag is in some communities that Bedavka they don't light candles, and other communities that Bedavka do light candles. So by the Ashkenazim, the practice is that we bench licht, we say a bracha, lahadik ner shal yom kippurim. And by the Svardim, they don't bench licht. They light candles on every yom kippur, they don't say a bracha, because it's only a minhag. Those same Svardim who don't recite a bracha when they recite chatzi halal amish chodesh will not recite a bracha when they light the candles on every yom kippur, because these are minhag. The Shulchan Aruch writes that there's a minhag that every night of Chanukah, everyone is obligated to light Neres Chanukah at home. That's a real takonim of the Rabbanan. And there's a minhag that you light a menorah in shul. And it says in Shulchan Aruch that no one is yotze but that. It's only a minhag. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the Shulchan Aruch, the minhag is that you say a bracha. So all the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch break their head to try to understand why did Rabbi Yosef Kara say that the minhag is that you say a bracha. He's the one who writes. Rabbi Yosef Kara was a Sfardi. He lived in Tzfat in the 1500s. So there were only Sfardish Rabbanim at that time. There were no Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael. So how does he write that you say a bracha when you light the menorah in shul? He's the one who writes you don't say a bracha when you light the candles there of Yom Kippur. You don't say a bracha on Chatzi Hal. So you shouldn't say a bracha on Hadlokas HaMenorah on Chanukah in shul either. So that's a problem. That's a discussion in Hilchos Chanukah. All the commentaries on the side, the Be'er HaGoyel, and all the commentaries break their head to try to understand this. So getting back again, the Gemara in Erech and Afyud lists off the 18 days, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, the 18 days in Eretz Yisrael when one recites Halal Shalem. When you mechuyev to say Halal, you say Halal Shalem. And then in Chutz L'Eretz it's 21 days. We add on another day Pesach, another day Shavuos, another day Sukkos. And the Gemara asks, if you Halal is reserved for special occasions, so Shabbos is a more special occasion. Gemara says Shabbos is not called a Moed. You have to understand what it means. The Gemara says, but Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed. Where is Rosh Chodesh called a Moed? We'll have to figure it out. Gemara says, Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Rosh Chodesh is Muta Basiyas Malacha. A funny answer. Chanukah is also Muta Basiyas Malacha. Everybody goes to work on Chanukah. We said Halal Chanukah. Since when does Halal have a connection with Isa Malacha? Halal Moed also, we recite Halal. And Halal Moed Sukkis, you recite Halal Shalom every day, and everybody goes to work on Halal Moed. What does it have to do with Issa Malacha? It's problematic. Then the Gemara says, no, what about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a Moed and it's also Asiyas Malacha, everything. How come we don't say Halal? So the Gemara quotes a discussion. Who was there to listen to this discussion is questionable. The Gemara quotes, the angels asked the Rabbanu Shalom. How did they know? The Gemara says, the angels, the Malachi Asher, asked the Rabbanu Shalom, how come the Jewish people are not reciting Halal on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Baruch Shalom says, no, they're doing the right thing because Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Yimei Hadin, Sefer Chaim, Sefer Meisim, Psuchim Lefonai, I'm judging the whole world, who's going to live and who's going to die. So it's not the right time to say Halal. So what is this all about? What is this all about? So the explanation of the Gemara is found in the Ramban on the Sefer HaMitzvos. So the Rambam, the Gemara says in the end of Makkos that there were 630 mitzvahs that the Rebbe Shalom gave the Jewish people when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai. Which are the 630 mitzvahs? The Gemara never tells him. So the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He tries to figure out which are the mitzvahs. The Rambam was not the first one, but the Rambam was not the last one. In the days of the Gaonim, they already wrote the Sefer Halachas Gedolos is a Sefer HaMitzvahs. And Rav Sadia Gaon wrote a poem where he, in poem form, he tries to list all of the 613 mitzvahs. The days of the Baal HaTosfos also, they used to compose various poems, piyutim, that would be recited in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah on Shavuos, when they would recite the Aseres Hadibros, when they would lay in Aseres Hadibros. So they would pause after Anochi Hashem Elokecha and rattle off all of the mitzvahs that are connected, that took it as if the Aseres Hadibros were 10 categories, and they would recite a poem which contained all of the mitzvahs that fell under that category. And they would pause, they would rattle off in poem form all of the mitzvahs that belonged under that category, and so on. So Rav Sadia Gaon composed such a poem, and the ganze poem is only 3 pages long. It's a very short poem. But there was a businessman in Europe, Rabbi Ruchem Perlo, who was a very learned individual, who put out 3 fat volumes, fatter than these, 3 fat volumes, to explain the whole poem, to explain what is the logic, what is the system of Rav Sadia Gaon, known as the Sefer HaMitzvos. Rav Sadia Gaon never wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos. But this Rabbi Ruchem Perlo, who was a balabas, he was not a rabbi, he was quite a learned balabas, he published 3 fat volumes explaining what was the whole system of idea. How did Rav Sadia Gaon decide what belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvah, in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, what doesn't belong? So the Rambam wrote his Sefer HaMitzvahs, and then after the Rambam, there are many who agree and disagree with a lot of things that he has. So the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam lists off what he considers are the 14 guiding principles, the 14 shoroshim. The Sefer HaMitzvahs was originally written in Arabic, and then it was translated years ago, it was translated into Hebrew. So it was translated into an archaic Hebrew. So at the time, during the lifetime of the Rambam, so the translator calls it the 14 Shoroshim. Now in the modern translation, they call it the 14 Klolim. Rav Yosef Katbach, who passed away a few years ago, retranslated again from the Arabic. Rav Chaim Heller just touched up. Rav Chaim Heller, who passed away 50 years ago, Rav Chaim Heller took the translation of the Sefer HaMitzvahs and he touched it up here and there when there was a mistake or there was a line missing. But basically he left the translation there it was. Yosef Kapach took the original Arabic and he retranslated the whole thing into normal Hebrew. So people today can understand it. The old Mara Nevuchim, you can't understand the translation. So Kapach translated the whole thing all over so you can read it. It's readable today. And the Sefer HaMitzvahs now in Kapach's edition is readable. So when he writes the 14 Kolalim, he calls it 14 Kolalim. Why should he call it 14 Shoroshim? Why should it be Shoroshim? Whatever it is. So the Rambam, the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam, he has the 14 guiding principles to determine what belongs in the Minyan HaMitzvahs and what doesn't belong. And when should you count it as one mitzvah, when should you count it as many mitzvahs. On Shabbos, you're not permitted to violate 39 malachas. So the Rambam says you only count it as one lav, not to be Mechal Shabbos. You don't count it as 39 Yisur. And Pesach, to observe Pesach, so you count the first day Pesach as one yontif, and the Shvi'ishal Pesach a separate day. So he says, no, Pesach is one, he counts as one mitzvah. And to bring the musafim on Sukkot, every day you bring a different musaf. So maybe every day of Sukkot should be counted a mitzvah to bring the musafim on the first day, mitzvah to bring the musafim on the second day, because the musafim are different every day. The Pariachaga, Pochsim, Ahochim, every day there's less karbonis. So the Rambam thinks, no, you count all the Masafim of Sukkot as one. Okay, so he gives you the guiding principles. And then in the second half of the Sefer Mitzvahs, he lists off Lamaisa, which does he think are the 248 Mitzvahs Asay, and which does he think are the 365 Mitzvahs Loisase. So in the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam has Kalal number one. The first rule is, you only include Mitzvahs Min Atar, you don't include Mitzvahs Min the Rabbanan. And then he gives you another 13 Kalal, adds up to 14 Klalim to determine what, in abstract, what belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvah. So the first klal is outright attack against the Halachas Gedolos. He says there were those scholars who preceded him, who included Mikra Megillah and Hadlakas Neris Chanukah and reciting of Hallel. He says he doesn't understand. These are clearly takonis min the Rabbanim. These are not mitzvahs min HaTorah. And the Gemara says that Rabban Shalom gave Moshe Rabbeinu 613 mitzvahs at Har Sinai. Rabban Shalom didn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, we should light the Erev Chanukah, we should read the Megillah. This was instituted way later. The whole historical background was later. And so too, reciting Hallel on Yom Tovim is only a takana the Rabbanim, so it doesn't belong in the minyan mitzvahs.
Do we know who taught it? I know there's a midrash about the 613, but who first postulated that there are 613?
That's the first comment that the Ramban had. The Ramban has a running commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos LaHaRambam. He didn't have our translation. He had a different translation. He didn't know Arabic. Ramban didn't know Arabic. So he had a different translation of the Sefer HaMitzvos because he quotes verbatim and it doesn't really correspond to what we have. So he has a running commentary on the whole Sefer HaMitzvos. So the first comment is that, who says that just because one rabbi in the Gemara in the last page in Makkah says 613, who says that this is the final word? So he says he's not so convinced that this was the accepted opinion, but since they all wrote Svarim, so he'll go along with that also. Yeah. But then he quotes many midrashim. The statement, the famous passage is the very end of Makkos, that there's 613 mitzvahs. But then he quotes, there's so many midrashim, apparently the Gaonim assumed that that was the generally accepted opinion. But he says he's not so convinced, Ramban, the first comment on the statement, so he says not so convinced that's the accepted opinion. He's chaylik on the whole institution. Then the Vilna Gaon disagrees with the whole style of counting mitzvahs. The Vilna Gaon had a brother by the name of Rabbein Avram, Achi Agro. He had a son also, Rabbein Avram Ben Agro, because he had a brother who wrote a sefer, Ma'ilas HaTorah, about the importance of learning Torah. So in the Ma'ilas HaTorah, he quotes every so often, he quotes from his brother. So he quotes what I refer to as the atomic theory of mitzvahs. The Vilna Gaon lived around the same time that Dalton developed the atomic theory of matter. So the Vilna Gaon says that every mitzvah has certain kavanas, certain inyonim. One mitzvah may have 15 in Yonim, another mitzvah may have 20 in Yonim, another mitzvah may have 5 in Yonim. You have a lot of mitzvahs will share in Yonim themes in common. So he thinks that when the Gemara says there's 613 mitzvahs, it does mean 613 obligations. And 613 ideas that are represented in all the mitzvahs put together. Sometimes a mitzvah will have 15 in Yonim and have share in Yonim in common with other mitzvahs. So when he was younger, the Vilna Gaon said he thinks that's what the Gemara means, but he doesn't know what the 613 Yonim are. And then when he was a very old man, before he died, he told his children that he did figure out. He knows what the 613 in Yonim are, but he never wrote it anyway. He never explained what it is. And how do you divide the 613? All the tradition, all the midrashim say that 248 mitzvahs essay, 365 mitzvahs lasse. According to the Vilna Gaon, that is an atomic theory of mitzvahs, that there are certain principles. What do you mean? The 248 principles of mitzvahs. What does that mean? So that they never explain. The children of the Gro and the brother of the Gro, they never explain the rest of the idea behind the minyan mitzvahs. So the Rambam in the first klal, in the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam in the first klal disagrees with the halachas gedolos. The halachas gedolos included in his count of 613 mitzvahs, reading the Megillah and lighting the Erev Chanukah, and the reciting of Hallel in other mitzvahs from the Rabbam. He says it doesn't make any sense. The Gemara says 613 mitzvahs are given to Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai. The mitzvah of Hallel didn't exist then. So the Ramban comes to, a lot of times the Ramban will defend the Halachas Gedolos even though he agrees with the Rambam. That's an interesting attitude. The Rabbein Ezrachi HaLevi learned Becharusa with the Raibitz. Rabbein Ezrachi HaLevi writes that he's 19 years old and he's writing a whole attack against the Rif. He has a commentary on the bottom of the Rif. He did the Sefer HaMor, the Mar HaKot, the Mar HaGodol. He lived in Lunel. So Lunel is a moon. So he named the name of the Sefer Mar HaKotan until you get to Nezikin. So he says, Baba Kama, Baba Mitzir, Nezikin, you can't understand with the light of the moon. You need the light of the sun for that. You need more illumination. So he calls this name of the Sefer. He changed it. Name of the Sefer is Amor HaGodol. On the Zikin. In the beginning, it's called Amor HaKotan. That's what he writes. He changed the name of the Sefer. So the Sefer Hamor, written by Ben Ezrachi Alevi at the age of 19, disagrees a lot of times with the Rif. And he disagrees sharply with the Rif. He says, the Rif is wrong. And the Rif at that time was the accepted Pesach. So the Ramban always defends the Rif. Once in a while he says, I don't know either what the Rif is talking about. But most of the time he defends the Rif, and every so often he'll write, I'm defending the Rif, I personally don't agree with the Rif, but he's upset why the Rabbi Nizrachi attacked him with such a zam, with such a venom. The Rif's position is reasonable, it's understandable, you can answer all the kashas, but I happen to agree with Rabbi Nizrachi. So here also the Ramban, when he has his running commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, every so often he really agrees with the Rambam, but he's upset why the Rambam writes with such venom against the Halachas Gedolos. The Halachas Gedolos was a recognized Pesek from the Tkufas Agoinim. He shouldn't have, the Rambam shouldn't have been mevatlim so easily. So here the Ramban defends the Halachas Gedolos. He says he thinks that Halal is min HaTorah. He thinks the Rabbi Nizrach, he thinks the Halachas Gedolos is right in including Halal in the Minyan HaMitzvah. He thinks Halal is min HaTorah. Where does it say in the Chumash that you're obligated to recite Halal? So the Ramban has a few suggestions, and other Rishonim have other suggestions, but the famous suggestion from the Ramban is, he says that the Torah tells us, V'samachta b'chagecha, there's a mitzvah of simcha. So the mitzvah of simcha is in all forms of simcha, not just, strictly speaking, the Gemara says, V'samachta b'chagecha means we are obligated to bring a korban shlomim, mizmanche b'samik v'shayakayam, you have to bring a shalmei simcha. You have to bring three types of korbanos: oilas ria, shalmei chagig, and shalmei simcha. So v'samachta b'chagecha, bizman shebeis mikdash kai, means you have to bring a certain kind of a korban. So the Ramban writes that's part of the mitzvah, but the rest of the mitzvah is simcha b'chol minei simchas. The Gemara says the husband has to see to it that his wife should buy a new dress for every yontif. That's why they say that the Rosh Chodesh is a yontif for women. The women hold that every Rosh Chodesh, the husband has to buy them a new dress. The Gemara just said the husband has to buy his wife a new dress. I give his wife money to buy a new dress on Shalosh Regalim because of the mitzvah of Simcha. So the Ramban and the Gemara says for every yontif, you have to buy toys, candies for the children. They should enjoy something special on yontif. So you see from the Gemara that you have to do Simchas, you have to fulfill Simchas yontif in more than one form, not just bringing the korbanos. The Ramban suggests he thinks that that's the pshat in the Gemara, that the obligation to recite Halal is a biblical obligation. It's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Simcha. Where does he come up to say, so what does Halal have to do with Simcha? So he says, that's what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara has a din, there was an institution, Bizmancha Beis HaMikdash HaYikam, when the Kohanim were makriv the Karbanis, when they would be pouring the wine. Not every Karban requires Nisach HaYayim. We say when you pour the wines on a korban tzibur, only on a korban yochid you pour wine, you don't have this on a korban tzibur when the kohanim are pouring the wine. So the levim would recite shira, they would be singing nigunim, and they would have musical accompaniment at the same time. On Shabbos and Yantav they wouldn't play the music. There's exerah derabban, you're not allowed to play music. So they would recite, they would sing the nigunim without playing the music. So the Gemara asks, where does it say in the Chumash that there's a biblical requirement for the Levim to sing Shira at the time of Nisach HaYayin? So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Tachas Asher Lavarta Hashem Alekecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Lev V'Meirov Ko. Tachas Asher Lavarta Hashem Alekecha, Avoida often has the connotation of Hakrovas HaKarbonis, like the Brach Nishmon Esra, where we'd say, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should accept our prayers as if we had offered Karbonis, and he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and we should be able to bring and he should accept all the karbanas. So that's called Birchas Avoida. If you look in the Sidurim, they have one word for each bracha. So the bracha it says Birchas Avoida. Avoida means Hakrovas HaKarbanas. So the pasuk reads Tachas Hashala Avartas Hashem Alakecha. When you brought the karbanas, you didn't do it b'simcha. So the Gemara says that word simcha implies that the Levim have to sing shirim. So that's why Rashi has this famous line that Mordechai ben David made a whole nigun on. That's what Rashi says on that Gemara. That the word Simcha has the connotation of Shira. So that's what the Ramban says. On Yontif there's a mitzvah of Simcha. So the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha is by singing. Singing what? Singing praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, singing Halal. So the Ramban thinks that's the biblical requirement, that's the biblical source. So we count one mitzvah of Simchas Yontif to bring the Karbanis, Shalmei Simcha. And another mitzvah, separate mitzvah, to recite Halal on Yontif as a fulfillment of the Simcha. So the Ramban says that's exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara raised the question, why don't we recite Halal on Shabbos? Shabbos is a a higher level of kedusha than all the other yamatayvim. And the yontav yeh beheter echal nefesh on Shabbos is more kedusha. So the Gemara answers, but Shabbos is not called a moed. What does that mean? So the Ramban seems to be implying because Shabbos doesn't have a mitzvah of simcha. We have a din when someone dies, so the relatives observe avelas. So if yontav comes in the middle of Shivas, it cancels the rest of Shiva. Yontav comes in the middle of Shloshim, it cancels the rest of Shloshim. Shabbos comes in the middle of Shiva, it doesn't cancel Shiva. So it's not because, I would have said, if you ask me, I would have said, if Shabbos is going to cancel Shiva, so you're never going to have Shiva? Shabbos always comes every seventh day. There's a Shabbos, so you never have Shiva. So the whole takon of Shiva, that's not the official explanation. The official explanation that Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi is that Shabbos, there's no Chiyuv Simcha. On Yontav, there's a Chiyuv Simcha. So Simcha and Avelos are contradiction. So when it comes a mitzvah of Simcha of Yontav, that cancels Avelos. You can't have Avelos and Simcha together. But Shabbos, there's no Chiyuv Simcha. I said, why don't we observe Avelos on Shabbos if there's no Chiyuv Simcha? So Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi, because Shabbos it says, Vayivarech Elokim es Yom Shvi'i. It's a day of blessing. And the pasuk says, "Emishle birchas Hashem hitashiv al Yosef etzavima." Whenever there's a blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shabbos is always a day of bracha. It's not a day of simcha. So since it's a day of bracha, al Yosef etzav ima, there's no sadness on Shabbos. So one doesn't observe avelus b'farhesi on Shabbos, but Shabbos can't cancel the shiva, the shloshim, because on Shabbos there is no chiyuv simcha. How can we say yismuchu b'malchuscha on Shabbos if there's no chiyuv simcha? So that's a very good question. And we may get to the answer in a few minutes. Okay. So the Gemara, this is a big discussion. How do you say Yismuchu Malchuscha on Shabbos? There are pages and pages in the Sefer Stechemet. Stechemet is an encyclopedia, a likut of many achronim. The Stechemet was a Sfardi who was born in Eretz Yisrael. And then he took a Rabbanus in Russia, and he didn't know what was going on. They had Minhagim he never heard of. And he was a big bucky. He knew all the Sfarim. He knew the Ashkenazim. He never heard of these Minhagim. So he corresponded with all the Rabbanim in Europe of his time, in the late 1800s, to try to figure out what's going on. Are we coming or going? So he corresponded so much that he wrote a whole encyclopedia. That's what started him off. Then he wrote a whole encyclopedia, approximately alphabetically arranged. Not 100%, but approximately. Within each letter, it's not alphabetically arranged. But the Aleph comes before the Beis, and the Beis comes before the Gimel. But the letters within the alphabet are not... So he has a few pages on this topic. How do you say Yismuchu Malchuscha on Shabbos if there's no Chiyuv Simcha? So we'll get to the answer soon. So the Gemara poses the question, why don't we recite Halal on Shabbos? Shabbos has more Kedusha than Yom Tov. The Gemara says, has more Kedusha, but there's no Chiyuv Simcha. It's not called Moed. Moed means a Chiyuv Simcha. Then the Gemara asks, well, Rosh Chodesh is called Moed. Where is Rosh Chodesh called Moed? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that based on this Ramban in Shorash Aleph and the Sefer Mitzvahs, the tour in Hilchas Rosh Chodesh quotes from the Gaonim that there is an inyan of Simcha on Rosh Chodesh, as it says in Pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar, V'yam Simchascha v'mardechem v'roshe chadshechem v'skaitem v'chatzotzes al olasechem al zivchei shalmechem. So the Pasuk puts together Rosh Chodesh, V'yam Simchascha v'mardechem v'roshe chadshechem, for the purpose of Tkiyas Chatzotzes in the Beis HaMikdash. Tkiyas Chatzotzes is a form of Simcha. They see that the Pasuk says that there's an obligation to celebrate Simcha in the Beis HaMikdash. Not Bigvula, not outside of the Beis HaMikdash. There's an inyan to celebrate Simcha in the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh HaChodoshim in conjunction with the Hakrabas HaKorbanos, in conjunction with the Musafim. So that's what the Gemara asks, why don't we recite Halil on Rosh Chodesh? We only have a minute to say Chatzi Halil. Why don't we recite Halil Shalom? So the Gemara answers, it's Muta Basiyas Malacha. So we posed the question before, since when is Halil connected with Isa Malacha? So the Ramban writes a fascinating line in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He says, the rabbis of the Talmud excluded Rosh Chodesh Bigvulin from reciting Halal. It sounds from the Ramban that Rosh Chodesh and the Beis HaMikdash, they did say Halal Shalom. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. He heard from his father as a child that the minig that was developed in Bavel to recite Chatzi Halal Rosh Chodesh, where did the minig come from? From thin air. So his father suggested there must have been that in the Beis HaMikdash they probably recited Halal Shalom on Rosh Chodesh. And Bigvulin they didn't say. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash they didn't say. So the minig developed that outside of the Beis HaMikdash they say Chatzi Halal. So for years he had heard this from his father. He never found any earlier source. His father can make up from thin air. Then he says after many years he discovered the Ramban. Sounds like he says it explicitly in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. On Shorash Aleph the Ramban says the rabbis only excluded Rosh Chodesh Bigvulin from reciting Halal. outside of the Beis Hamikdash. Sounds explicitly from the Rambam, Rosh Chodesh and the Beis Hamikdash. He do say Halal. Rav Soloveitchik printed this when he delivered the Hesped for Rav Zev Gold. Rav Zev Gold was a famous Mizrahi leader. He passed away many, many years ago. Rav Soloveitchik was known for his knockout Hespedim. I remember when Rav Soloveitchik passed away, so Dr. Lim delivered a Hesped in the yeshiva. So he said, his opening line was, the only one who could really deliver a good Hesped on the Rav was the Rav himself. So people didn't know what he was talking about, because he used to give knockout Hespedim. He printed the Hesped that he delivered for Rav Chaim Heller, and many, many famous, the Hesped for the Talmud Rebbe, the Hesped for the Talmud Rebbetzin. He was very famous. There are many more Hespedim. He delivered a Hesped, a knockout Hesped, when Dean Zohar passed away, and Rav Moshe Shatzky passed away. I remember all the Hespedim. There were, each one was a whole mimer. It was a whole drush. And there was a Balabasa Maria, Mr. Shup. He delivered a whole Hesped when he passed away, a whole Maracha. Every Hesped was a Gansa Maracha. He used to kibitz that if they asked Rav Soloveitchik to deliver Hesped, he said, you have to give me 3 weeks' notice in advance. But he never had 3 weeks' notice in advance. He used to prepare it the night before, but it was a Gansa Maracha. So he has this Shtigl Torah is printed in the Hesped for Rav Zev Gold. He described him as an Ish Rosh Chodesh. He spoke about what Rosh Chodesh was all about. And he points out the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvah sounds like he says explicitly what he heard from his father, that in the Beis HaMikdash Am Rosh Chodesh did recite Halal. Because you recite Halal whenever there's a mitzvah of Simcha. And Rosh Chodesh did Simcha in the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Pasuk puts it together. Yam Simchas Mardechem Rosh HaChashech Miskaitam HaChatzotzes Halal HaSechem Azim Cheshamechem Shiblot Kiyas HaChatzotzes in conjunction with HaKrabas HaMusafim. So in the Beis HaMikdash there was a Chiyab Simcha. So the Ramban writes, the rabbis excluded Rosh Chodesh outside of the Beis HaMikdash because Muta Basiyas Malacha. What does it mean? So the Rav explained, there are three parshias in Chumash that speak about the Yamim Tovim. Parshas Hamor. I remember before I went to Rav Soloveitchik Shir, I didn't really know any Chumash at all. I still don't know Chumash too well. But before I went to Shir, I didn't understand anything about Chumash. Then he used to point out things in Chumash that were so obvious. Chumash, Pirush HaMilas and Chumash, he would recite a pasuk and say, that's what it means. He wouldn't even explain what it meant. The way he paused in the middle of the pasuk, you understood pshat in the pasuk. So remember he was giving this year, he said, there are three parshias in the Chumash where the Yamim Tovim are discussed. You have Parshas Emor, Parshas Pinchas, and Parshas Re'eh. So Parshas Emor, the Torah speaks about the Issa Melacha. And Parshas Pinchas, the Torah speaks about the special Musafim, special HaKarabas HaMusafim. And the Parshas Re'eh, the Chumash speaks about the special mitzvahs hayom, special mitzvahs that you have to observe on the various Yamim Tovim. So on Rosh Chodesh, what do you have? There's no Issa Melacha on Rosh Chodesh. And there's no special mitzvahs. You don't eat matzah, and you don't shake a lulav, and you don't blow shofar, you don't sit in sukkah. There's no special mitzvah. So the only thing you have on Rosh Chodesh is the Musafim and the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what the Ramban learns in the Gemara. The Kedusha Sayyam Bar Rosh Chodesh is only relevant in the Beis HaMikdash. So you only say Halal in the Beis HaMikdash. There was a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. So they said Halal Shalom, Mita Bracha. But outside Bigvula and outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the whole Rosh Chodesh is irrelevant. It's relevant when you write a ksuba, so you write what day of the month it is. Okay, but it's not relevant as a special day, a holy day. The Kedusha of Rosh Chodesh is only relevant to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. Maybe that's the teretz why we say Yismuchu b'malchuscha. He said, Minig Ashkenaz is, and Nusach Ashkenaz, you only say Yismuchu b'malchuscha in Musaf. You don't say in Shachris, you don't say in Ma'ariv. Nusach Svar, they have Yismuchu b'malchuscha even in Shachris, I think in Mincha and Ma'ariv also. So he said, that he doesn't understand, but Nusach Ashkenaz he does understand. Because when you're davening Musaf, you're talking about Hakrovas HaKarbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. So just like Rosh Chodesh, there was a Chi of Simcha in the Beis HaMikdash in conjunction with HaKrovas HaMusafim. So the same is true on Shabbos as well. Shabbos Bigvula and outside of the Beis HaMikdash, there's no Chi of Simcha. But Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash in conjunction with the Musafim, there is a Chi of Simcha. Because he pointed out, there's a Gemara in Moed Katan, where the Gemara seems to say that the whole Inyan of Simcha is Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Alakechem. One is obligated to observe an inyan of simcha when one is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when is one in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So on Sholosh Regolim, you have an obligation to be Ola Regol, to visit the Beis HaMikdash. And even though, and on Yom Kippur, there's no obligation to visit the Beis HaMikdash, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's not from the Sholosh Regolim, But on Yom Kippur, we have an obligation to do tshuva. So the Pesukim say in the Navi, your sins serve as a barrier between the person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like an iron curtain. That's what the Navi calls a barzal, an iron curtain. When you do tshuva and you remove this mechitza, hamapsekes, then the person comes back again to the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on Yom Kippur, there's an inyan of simcha because the person is lifnei Hashem. He's supposed to do tshuva. He's supposed to do tshuva all year long. But all the Rishonim say there's an added mitzvah to do tshuva, a special mitzvah to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. Then on Rosh Hashanah, we have to understand why. But the Gemara says beferish that blowing over the shofar came to the zikaron kasi kelifnim dami. When you blow shofar anywhere in the world, in America, when you blow shofar, it's considered as if you're in a kodesh hakadoshim shofar, special shofar. So he said, Vashari Yom Kippur is also lefnei Hashem. Shalosh v'galim is lefnei Hashem. And Vashari Yom Kippur is also lefnei Hashem. And the Chiyuv Simcha is always connected with being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Smachtem lefnei Hashem alakechem. The Gemara has in the first perek in Chagiga, Ein atzvus lefnei hamokim. There's no sadness when one is in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. As the Pasuk says, Hod v'hod alafonov, oiz v'chedva b'imkam. There's always rejoicing in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's the idea that on Rosh Chodesh, you're mechuyif to go to the Beis Hamikdash to bring musafim. So once you're in the Beis Hamikdash to bring the musafim, then there is a chiyuv simcha. On Shabbos also, in the Beis Hamikdash, there probably is a chiyuv simcha like on Rosh Chodesh. So it makes sense that in connection with the musafim, with tefillas on musafim, we say yismuchuv malchuska. But they say yismuchuv by all the tefillas, not by musaf, that he thought that was questionable. He said he understands Nusach Ashkenaz better than Nusach Svar. Nusach Svar recites Nusach Malchuska by all the Tfilas. He said he only understands Nusach Ashkenaz. So this is what the Gemara says, that we don't recite Halal on Shabbos because Shabbos is not called a Moed, means it's Nochiyab Simcha. That's how the Ramban reads the whole Gemara. We don't recite, Rosh Chodesh is a Chiyab Simcha because it is a Moed. As it says, V'yom Simchaschem, Adechem Rosh HaChechem, is put together with Simchaschem. So the Gemara says, you don't recite Halal outside of the Beis HaMikdash B'Gvulim. Sounds like in the Beis HaMikdash you do recite Halal, because there is an inyan of Simcha. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash you don't recite Halal. Then the Gemara asks, well, what about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? There is a Chiyuv Simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also cancel Avelos, also cancel Shiva, cancel Shloshim. So how come we don't recite Halal on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, the Malachim asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Baruch Shalom said, no, the Jewish people are doing right. It's not a correct time to say Halal. So when the Rambam quotes that Gemara, he says, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur binom yisad Halal, because they're not Yemei Simcha Yisera. So the Rambam also writes like the Ramban, the obligation to recite Halal stems and flows from the mitzvah of Simcha. But it's a different kind of Simcha, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's a toned down Simcha. It's not Simcha Yisera. On Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, it's Simcha Yisera. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's Yomim Naroim, so it's a little bit toned down. Then the Gemara points out. Pardon?
On
Rosh Hashanah,
you say Yom
Simcha Yisera. Yeah, yeah. Rosh Hashanah is a day of Simcha, right? It is a day of Simcha, but it's not Yemei Simcha Yisera. Right. The Gemara says that the obligation to recite, so why is one obligated to recite Halal on Chanukah? How does Chanukah fit in? So the Gemara says, no, Chanukah is a different mitzvah. The obligation to recite Halal on Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, that's because of the Simcha. The obligation to recite Halal on Chanukah is not because of the Simcha. That's because Zechel Nes. That's, the Gemara says in Brachos, that's the Halal on Chanukah is Pesumei Nisan. It's a form of Pesumei Nisan. It's a different inyan. We'll discuss it a little further soon. So then the Gemara poses a question: Why did we decide only to recite Halal on Chanukah when the Nes occurred? Why don't we recite Halal on Purim? Purim we also Ala Nisim Ala Purkan. We say Ala Nisim. There was an Nes Purim just like there was an Nes Chanukah. So the Gemara gives three answers, and it's a question: which answer is accepted Lalocha? And there may be a difference between the various answers. So one answer the Gemara gives is that the rereading of the Megillah itself constitutes an implicit form of Halal. You don't even say Shem Hashem. You don't even mention the Baruch Shalom stuff. Of course, we don't praise Him, we don't thank Him, we don't say anything, but implicitly, we are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's one answer the Gemara gives. The Gemara gives another answer, that when you recite Halal, you have to say, What do we say? Yeah. The Gemara says, "Akati yabdi da hashver shanan." So, what do you say in the halal? The first line, "Haluka halu abdi Hashem." You have to. Those who are servants to HaKadosh Baruch Hu should praise God. So we can't recite halal on Hanukkah. The Hashmonaim made a rebellion. They made a revolution, and they instituted an independent Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So it makes sense to recite halu abdi Hashem. We're no longer servants. We're no longer under the rule of the Greeks. But on Purim, they didn't make any rebellion. They just had a hatzalah, but they were still under the jurisdiction of the Goyish government. So the Gemara's expression is, Akati abdi da Achashverish, and we're still servants under Achashverish. So you can't say the opening line, Halu abdi Hashem, v'loy abdi paro. On Pesach, you say, Halu abdi Hashem, v'loy abdi paro. We went lecheris. But now, Akati abdi da Achashverish, and so that's when they established Medina Yisrael. So they said, that's it. We should say halal on Yom HaTzmaut because we're no longer. The Gemara says the whole reason why I say halal on Hanukkah as opposed to Purim is because on Purim we're still avodim to Achashverosh, and on Hanukkah they establish an independent Jewish government. So Yom HaTzmaut they establish an independent Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So they should say halal. So we'll have to discuss that. Based on this Gemara, that's what they say. You should say halal. So we'll have to get to that. So that's the second explanation the Gemara gives. That you don't say halal on Purim because you can't recite with a straight face halal avdei Hashem, v'loy avdei Achashverosh, akati avdei Achashverosh shanan. The Gemara gives a third answer. You only recite halal on a nes sheberetz Yisrael. The nes Purim occurred in Chutz Lord. The nes Chanukah occurred in Eretz Yisrael, in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's only proper to recite halal on a nes that occurred in Eretz Yisrael. What's the significance of what does that mean? A distinction between a Ness in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to a Ness in Chutz Lo'ed. Why is there a difference? So there are more than two explanations, but the two famous explanations are given by the Maharsha and the Minchas Chinuch. The Maharsha and the Chidushi Agoda and Erechin and Daf Yud writes that it doesn't mean Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Lo'ed. What it means is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to the Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael than he is in Chutz Lo'ed. The closeness is greater. So in Eretz Yisrael, on the occasion of Chanukah, there was a Nes Nigla. The oil burned for 8 days. That broke all the rules of nature. So you only recite Hallel on a Nes, that's a Nes Nigla. But Purim, everything was a Nes Nistar. That's what the commentaries explain. Why the Shem Hashem never appears in the Megillah Esther even once? Because it was a Nes Nistar. HaKadosh Baruch is hidden. He's pulling all the strings from behind the scenes. So because it's only a Nes Nistar, so that's why it's not proper to recite Halal. That's how the Mashur reads the Gemara. And Nesha B'chutz Lo'ed means a Nes Nistar, so you don't recite Halal for that, as opposed to Chanukah. And Nesha B'Eretz Yisrael is a Nes Nigla, so you do recite Halal. The Minchas Chinuch refers you to this Mashur, and he has a different interpretation. He quotes a discussion from the Gemara in Tainis, the last daf in the first paragraph in Tainis. So the Gemara says, half of the year we say the same talamat and lebracha. Half of the year we say the same bracha. How do we decide which part of the year you say the same talamat? So the Gemara says in Eretz Yisrael there's a dry season. In America there ain't no such thing as a dry season. So it doesn't make sense bichlal why half of the year we don't say the same talamat. That's a deep dark secret. Why we don't exactly understand why. But at least in the Middle East, in the Mediterranean area, so there's a dry season. So from Pesach to Sukkot it just doesn't rain. Those that go visit Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to bring a raincoat, you don't have to take an umbrella, you don't have to take any boots, it's just not going to rain. If it's going to rain, it'll rain for 5 minutes and then it'll be over. So you're not going to need a raincoat. So you only say the same talamotor when it's the rainy season. What if I have a farm in Eretz Yisrael and I personally need rain? So I want to pray to the Baruch Shalom, it should rain. I need rain in the middle of the summer for whatever reason. I'm construction business, whatever, I need rain. So the Gemara says, if you need rain, don't say in Baruch Aleinu Misein Talamata. Say in Shmak Aleinu. If you have personal needs, say in Shmak Aleinu. The only time you say Misein Talamata and Baruch Aleinu is when the whole Tzibur needs the rain. When it's a private person, an individual, a Yochid who needs rain, you should say in Shmak Aleinu. So the Gemara says, well, what if it's a whole city like Nineveh? What if it's a big city like Nineveh and the whole city needs rain in the middle of the summer? Should they say Misein Talamata and Baruch Aleinu or not? So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says a statement, all the Jews who live in Chutz Lo'ed are considered Ki Yechidim. The Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are called Klal Yisrael. Even if there's only a minion of Jews in the whole Eretz Yisrael, 10 Jews in Eretz Yisrael, that constitutes Klal Yisrael. And all the millions of Jews who live in Chutz Lo'ed, they're Ki Yechidim Dami. That's the Lashon HaGemara. So the Minchas Chinuch says he thinks that that's what it means in the Gemara. You only recite Halal on Anesh of Eretz Yisrael means Anesh that occurred to the Tzibur. Ananes HaTzibur. If a Yochid had Anesh, he quotes Rabbeinu Yoina, says this on Brachas on Daf Yud Dalet. You only recite Halal if the Nes occurred to the Tzibur. Anesh of the Yochid, he doesn't say Halal. So the Minchas Chinuch says he thinks that that's what this means. Anesh of Eretz Yisrael is a nest that occurred to the Tzibur. A nest that occurred in Chutz Lortz, even though all the Jews lived at that time. In the days of Mordechai V'Esther, all the Jews lived in Chutz Lortz, but they were considered Kiyichidim Dami. So that's why it doesn't make sense to recite Halal. That's the Minchas Chinuch's interpretation. Based on this Gemara, the Gemara gave a whole explanation. Why don't we recite Halal on Shabbos? Because Shabbos is not called a moed. Why don't we recite Halal on Rosh Chodesh? Because Rosh Chodesh is Muta Basiyas Malach. Whatever the explanation is. Okay, we gave a whole explanation. So the Sochet Shavar Rebbe, who wrote the Avnei Nezer, the Ekle Tal, once gave Shalashudas Torah. On Rosh Chodesh Shecholi is B'Shabbos. Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Why don't you say Gantz Halal? Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. The reason why you don't say Rosh Chodesh is because Muta Basiyas Malach Shabbos. It's also Basiyas Malach. The reason why you don't say Halal on Shabbos because it's mutabas, because it's not called a moed, so Rosh Chodesh is called a moed. So each Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, each one has a chisaron. When it's Rosh Chodesh Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, there's no chisaron. So then you should be obligated to recite Halal Shalom. So how come we only say Chatzi Halal? That was the kasha. This was Shalashudas there. This was Shalashudas there. There used to be a big Talmud Chacham who lived in Baltimore, who was a Talmud of the Sochet Shavar Rebbe, Forshlager. Michoel, Rabbi Michoel Forshlager. He just sat and he learned all the time. He sat and he learned and he wrote. So he printed this. He was once there by Shalashudas, so he printed this in Hapardes. This kasha. So he said, Abdi Nezer said, the teretz is, when it's Rosh Chodesh Chalias B'Shabbos, the two don't blend in together. It's not Shabbos Rosh Chodesh hyphenated. It's one superimposed on the other. So neither Shabbos is Mechayib to be said Hal, nor Rosh Chodesh is Mechayib to be said Hal. They don't join together. So this answer is very questionable. The Avnei Nezer himself has in his tshuvas that there's a Gemara in Zvachim in the beginning of Perek HaLatodeh where it sounds not so. It sounds like the two do blend in together. When it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, it's one Kedusha Sayyim hyphenated, that the two blend in together. So that's a good question. Why shouldn't one recite the Halal Shalem and Rosh Chodesh Shechol Yis B'Shabbos? So again, the Gemara gave the klal. You recite, there are two obligations to recite Hal. On the Yomim Tovim, the obligation to recite Hal is as an expression of Simchas Yontov, Samachta V'Chagecho. The obligation to recite Hal on Chanukah, as opposed to Purim, is because of the Zechel Anes. It's not because of the Simchas Yontov, because of the Zechel Anes. And there were three explanations why we don't have such an obligation on Purim. The Chidor was a Talmud Chacham who lived in the 1700s. And he was born in Eretz Yisrael, and he was a Mesholach. He was raising money for the yeshiva and the yeshiva in Hebron. Traveled around Europe a lot, and then he spent the last 30 years of his life in Italy. He died and he was buried there in Italy. I remember I knew there was a balabas in my neighborhood who was a few years older than me. He died 30 years ago. He tells me he attended the funeral of the Chidor. So I'm looking at him, Professor Levy, I'm looking at him. He attended. So he says, yeah, when they took his body from Italy to Eretz Yisrael, he had a sabbatical that year. He was teaching in Eretz Yisrael that year. So he attended the second funeral. He wasn't there by the first funeral. First funeral was in the 1700s. He was there by the second funeral. So the Chidor, when he traveled around to raise money, whenever he would come to a city where there was a library, he would always visit the library. And whenever he would find a manuscript, he was always looking for Yiddish manuscripts. And he would find a Me'iri, a Samadik Saviat, he would copy it down. And he published, before all the Me'iris were published, he published his Birkei Yosef. He published many, many, many Svarim. Have over 70 Svarim written by the Chidor. So he made famous many comments of the Me'iri before the whole Kisvei Yad were printed. So he's famous. He has in the Birkei Yosef, he quotes the Me'iri on Megillah. Me'iri thinks on Masachas Megillah that we paskin like the reason why we don't recite Halal on Purim is because we yotze with the Mikra Megillah. So he says, what if you don't have a Megillah on Purim? So Me'iri says, if you don't have a Megillah, then you have to say Halal with a Brach. So the Birkei Yosef of the Chidor quotes this in his Sefer, and he says, he doesn't think we paskin like that. So this is a discussion in the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch. If a person is stuck in Hawaii, whatever, There is a Megillah in Chabad. Wherever, if he's stuck somewhere in Alaska, I don't know if there's a Chabad in Alaska, too. If the person is stuck somewhere and there's no Megillah, does he have an obligation to recite Hallel on Chanukah or not?
Did you read 2 days?
Okay, that's another question. Which day is Purim? That's a more serious question. Yeah. So the Netziv also has a comment about this. The Netziv does not accept the Meiri, like the Birkei Yosef, the Chidot didn't accept the Meiri, and the Netziv explains why. The Chasam Sofer, by way of background, the Chasam Sofer writes in one of his tshuvas that the obligation to recite Hallel on Chanukah is min haTorah, biblical obligation. The Gemara said there are two different obligations. One obligation to recite Hallel out of Simchas Yontav, so the Ramban thinks that Pshat and the Bahag is that that's min haTorah because of Simchas Yontav. But then there's another obligation to recite Hallel as a Pisum in Nisa, Zechel Nes, the Nes of Chanukah. So the Chasam Sofer and Tshuva writes he thinks that's min haTorah. Why? Because in the Brisa, Rabbi Shmuel and Bishlosh Yesemis, HaTorah Nidreshes Bem, so we mentioned Kal V'chomer. So Kal V'chomer is a Din D'oraisa. So the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Daled, makes the following Kal V'chomer. The Chumash records in Parshas B'Shalach, next week's Parsha, the Chumash records, Oz Yoshem Moshe B'nei Yisrael, that on the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf, the experience of Yeshua with Anes, so they recited Hallel, they recited Oz Yoshir. So the Gemara says, well, it's a Kal V'chomer, that if they recited Hallel me'avdus l'cheirus, so we should certainly recite Hallel me'mavis l'chaim on Purim. We should recite Hallel because we experienced the Yeshua and we were saved. They wanted to kill all the Jews. So the Gemara gave all the three answers why we don't say Hallel on Purim. But the Gemara first started to say that it should be a Kal V'chomer. So Kal V'chomer is a Din D'oraisa, and it's a Mamatzinu is also going to be a Din D'oraisa. So the Chasam Sofer says, you see from that Gemara, that reciting of Hallel, whenever there's a Yeshua, whenever there's a Nes, and the Nes brings about a Yeshua, you're obligated to recite Hallel. So the Chasam Sofer writes that Hallel and Chanukah is min haTorah. So the Netziv, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Valozhin, was a yeshiva that was founded in 1801, and it lasted, it was closed by the Russian government in 1891, lasted for 91 years. And was originally founded by Rab Chaim Valozhin, the student of the Milne Goyen. And the last 39 years of the yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva was the Netziv. Rab Herschel Leib Berlin, the father of Meir Bar Ilan. Meir Bar Ilan was the son of the Netziv. Rab Chaim Berlin was the son of the Netziv from his first wife. And then the first wife died. And then Rab Meir Bar Ilan was the brother of Rab Chaim Berlin. T.I. was founded by Rab Meir Bar Ilan. And Chaim Berlin was not founded by Chaim Berlin, but it was named after him. So they were half brothers. They had the same father with a different mother. So the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva in Valozhin for the last 39 years. Unusual, 39 years. And he was not a direct descendant of Rab Chaim Valozhin. He married into the family. And there were others who were direct descendants who always, they were attempting coups to kick him out. And he with his, they have all the pictures with the long pelach, with the glassy eyes, with the big sputtik. You know, he looks like he doesn't know what's going on in this world. When you look at the photographs of him. But he ran the yeshiva B'yad Chazaka, and he succeeded in remaining for 39 years. It's very unusual. So the Netziv disagrees with the Chasam Sofer, but it's a chutzpah to disagree. So he reversed to him, Hagoyen v'hatzadik ha-chasam Sofer. If you disagree, so you have to be respectful about it. He says, Hagoyen v'hatzadik ha-chasam Sofer writes that the obligation to recite Hallel Chanukah is min haTorah, because of the Kal V'chomer that the Gemara had, Kal V'chomer that it says, Oz Yoshir and Parshas B'Shalach. So we should always recite Hallel whenever you have a Yeshua, whenever there's a Yeshua for the Klal Yisrael. So he says, with all due respect to Hagoyim HaTzadik HaChasam Sofer, that's not correct. The obligation to recite Hallel Men HaTorah is on the occasion of the Nes, B'Shas HaNes. They recited Oz Yoshir on the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf. You're not M'chuyiv Men HaTorah to recite Oz Yoshir every single year in commemoration of the Nes. On the occasion of the Nes, they recited Hallel. The Gemara made a takkona de Rabbanon not only to recite Hallel on the occasion of the Nitzochon of the Chashmonoim, to recite Hallel every consequent year in commemoration of the Nes, that's only made the Rabbanon already. So the Gemara raised the question, why don't we today recite Halal on Purim every year in Zecher l'Nes? The Gemara gave a reason why they never made such a takana. So even if you don't have any Megillah, and the reason why they didn't institute it was because Kriyasa, reading of the Megillah, takes the place of the Halal, but bottom line, the Chachamim never made a takana. So if they never made a takana, there's no takana. So there's no obligation to recite Halal on Purim. He says, the Hagoyen Matzarek HaChasam Sefer made a mistake, and he quotes a Beferish Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas has a din, that the middle of Mishnah in Brachas has a din, in the second paragraph in Brachas. If a person is in the middle of reciting Kriya Shema, and someone walks into shul late, and he doesn't realize that I'm saying Kriya Shema, he doesn't realize he's not allowed to talk in the middle of Kriya Shema, whatever it is, and he says, Good Shabbos to me, he says, Good Yonta, whatever. I'm not going to answer him, so he's going to feel slighted. So the Mishnah has a din, you're obligated to answer. So the Mishnah has a distinction, where are you in the middle of Kriya Shema? How do you know you have to answer? Because it says, V'dibarta bam, you should talk in the middle of Kriya Shema. V'dibarta bam means he's supposed to talk in the middle of Kriya Shema. So the Gemara says, well, where are you supposed to talk? In the middle of which pasuk? Gemara says, are you bein parsha le parsha? That's called bein aprokim. He said, you didn't start v'hoyayim shemaya, or you finished l'man yibu yimechem, you didn't start v'yam, in between one paragraph and the other, or you are in the middle of the paragraph. So there's a debate in the Tanoim, is more of a kula to be mapsik bein perik leperik than there is in the middle of the perik. Okay, a whole discussion in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah Brewer writes that today everybody knows that you're not allowed to talk in the middle of Kriya Shema, so if someone walks into shul, you should not say good Shabbos then. You'll tell them later on, I was in the middle of Kriya Shema. Okay, so we don't do this anymore. But in the days of the Tanoim, that's what it says in the Mishnais. And it's based on the pasuk, v'dibar tabom, you're supposed to talk in the middle of Kriya Shema out of kavod habrias, not to hurt the person's feelings. So the Gemara has a shaila, what if you're reciting Hallel on Chanukah? You're in between one paragraph and the other, or in the middle of a paragraph. Do you have the same heter that you have for Kriya Shema? Should I say it's a kal v'chomer? Kriya Shema is min haTorah, and you still have a heter to be mafzik. Halal Chanukah is only with the Rabbanim, you certainly have a heter. Or maybe I should say, no, Halal on Chanukah maybe is mochomer because it's Pesumi Nisa. If you're going to talk in the middle of the hall, maybe you ruin the whole Pesumi Nisa. So Gemara has a discussion about this, and Brachas Daf Yadam. So the Netziv says, this the Birki Yosef had this time once. The Gemara said, Beferish, the Halal on Chanukah is only with the Rabbanim. The Gemara first starts off, should I make a Kavachaymer? Kriya Shema is there, ice in the Torah, says you're allowed to be mas.